from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Going Back to Brownsville by West Tennessee, early blues great Sleepy John Estes, who died on this day in 1977.
You know what I watched yesterday, Chris?
What'd you watch yesterday, Drew?
I watched the first episode of the Stacks documentary on HBO.
Oh, nice. What's your review? What'd you think?
I thought it was very informative as somebody that moved here from a different part of the country and didn't know much about Stacks and probably still doesn't know enough about Stacks to really be talking about it on the radio. I found it to be pretty informative. I plan on finishing it. I think I learned a lot about the history, about how it was created. It was cool that a lot of the original, characters are still a part of that documentary and talking about it. But I was just curious.
Yeah.
You've watched the whole thing, right? You've watched the whole thing through at this point.
Yeah, I know. I watched it. I got an early sort of copy of it to watch it and write about it, interviewed the director. I encourage everyone listening, I encourage to watch it, to watch the whole thing. I will say the first episode, maybe the best of the four, especially if you're coming to it relatively fresh, because sort of the triumphant part of the Stack story is sort of the origin of it, right? And sort of how this materialized out of this Memphis neighborhood from all these unlikely people. And so that's really like the happiest part of the story is that, and maybe into the second episode. And then by the end, it's the arc of, how it falls apart or whatever, which is interesting, but it's not quite, a little bit different experience. But that first episode, man, every time Booker T. Jones is interviewed, I just get chills whenever that guy starts talking.
Yeah.
That first episode.
Well, it was also, to me, a realization of songs that I know, I know in my head that I may not, know the name of, but I'm like, oh, I've heard that a million times. That comes from Stacks. Yep. It was Green Onions, obviously. Yep. And Hold On, I'm Coming. Those two, I was immediately, yeah. I was like, everybody knows these songs. I didn't realize that these were Stacks songs. So that's a little embarrassing, and I should know that as somebody that's been a Memphian for these years now. But I found it to be very enjoyable, that entire experience.
Everything that everyone knows was started out as something they did not know. So
right.
Never be embarrassed to learn something new.
Yes. So Jeffrey and I, in the last segment, we were just talking about it. The Wall Street Journal had a story today about the direction in which the national media games are headed in the NBA. Looking like it's going to be ESPN, although fewer games, Prime, and NBC. Do you have a station? Do you enjoy watching NBA games on TNT or ESPN more, or do you not really? That doesn't really matter to you.
I feel like I prefer the TNT games. I don't always stay up after the game to watch all of the inside the NBA stuff. I oftentimes when the game's over, I turn it off and go to bed. But to the degree I do like the trappings around the TNT games better than the trappings around the ESPN games. I guess in terms of the game broadcast itself, I may not notice that much of a difference. I don't give you Brown's ESPN, and I love Hubie and Doris Burke, and she's good. But I don't. When I'm watching the game, I'm not that attuned to the announcers, honestly. It just sort of fades into the atmosphere to me. So my issue is more so I have a decision to make. Maybe you can help me. Jeffrey, I know, can help me. Maybe listeners who want to tweet me can help me. I'm finally getting my internet installed today, And I have a decision to make about what I'm doing in terms of television in this new house. Am I doing Hulu with live TV? And am I doing YouTube TV? I don't think I'm doing full-on like cable.
I still have Xfinity. Now, that will change if we don't have Bally Sports back by the time the Grizzlies start. I've done Hulu TV. I tried it. And it was fine, I suppose. My problem is I'm a huge NFL fan, and like I just have to have anything that the NFL is on, I'm going to watch. So I'm just going to make sure that I have all of those things and that I'm able to watch the Grizzlies. And whatever the simplest path is for me, which I'm starting to think might be YouTube TV, I will take that path. But for now, I'm trying to keep Xfinity because I like that it's a little bit faster than the streaming options. And also, you know, when we sit, I don't know if you do this too. When I sit there and watch Grizzlies games, I use something called, I don't know if I should even say it because I don't know if everyone will be able to get access to it. But I have a stats website that pulls up all the stats live as they happen. And the stats website is incredibly fast. And so I always know what's going to happen before the game, before I see
that NBA, the NBA courtside site or whatever that thing is.
Yes.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
And so I don't want that being ruined, so I like the speed of the cable. So that's the only reason I've stuck with it. But if they don't have Grizzlies games, I'm not going to do it.
So I am not going to make television decisions around non-NBA sports, which is not to say like I won't watch non-NBA sports, but I'm just not going to make decisions around that. So I always have League Pass, and I figure I'll probably just be able to actually watch Grizzlies road games or Grizzlies games on League Pass from here when I'm not there. But when I am there, I'm going to have whatever. So whatever the Grizzlies streaming service is, whether that's Bally's or that's part of Amazon or whatever it is, I just already know I'm going to be getting that.
I don't think you're going to have to. You're out of market.
Well, yeah, but when I'm in Memphis, I may be in Memphis sometimes when they dip out on road games and stuff like that, and I'll need to be able to see that stuff.
I'll give you a password.
Yeah, we can.
All right, we'll talk later.
There's one thing: when you pay $400 a month for TV, I've got passwords on top of passwords.
We were asking. Do you think the magic of the Inside the NBA show is Chuck, or is it Chuck and Gang?
Well, I do think the Kenny Smith, Charles Barkley chemistry is a meaningful part of it. I'm reluctant to say Gang because I don't know how much I think Shaq adds to stuff.
He's an antagonizer. That's what makes it great because he antagonizes Chuck and it makes it entertaining.
Here's the thing. Shaq, I know it's been a few years that Shaq's been on that, but that show became a thing before Shaq was on it. And that thing was Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, and Ernie Johnson. So that trio made that show like a real success among NBA fans before Shaquille O'Neal was on it. So I don't consider Shaq important to the chemistry of the thing. I do think it's about more than Barkley, though.
Do you think that they should move to wherever, if Turner indeed loses the NBA, which seems very, very likely at this point, where would you like to see Chuck end up? Because I think if he ends up in ESPN, it may change.
To me, I mean, that. Yeah, it could. But, like, you know, if TNT is not going to have games, what are they going to be doing on TNT? And so, like, it's not like that's a broadcast crew you just want to see doing other stuff. It's something you want to see doing NBA games. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the idea of them moving, of whoever has NBA games, trying to get that group back together sort of makes sense to me.
Well, if you're not watching other sports that have already gone to the streaming, do you suspect that, like, having to stream a game Well, I guess you would do it on the Bally's app right now, or before this season, you did it on the Bally's app. But I was just wondering.
I used the Bally's app last season. Yeah.
Okay.
My suspicion is the Bally's app is going away.
I think a lot of people would be cheering for that, Jeffrey.
I think that package locally is going to wind up on Amazon Prime.
But you
think it'll be something you have to pay extra for in Amazon Prime. It won't be part of your Amazon Prime.
That is what most people suspect, is that it's going to be an add-on. Like, I don't know if it's $5 a month or whatnot. If you're a cable or a satellite subscriber, I still believe this coming season, I believe you will still have a channel that has Grizzlies games, with the one caveat being they've not worked out the deal with Comcast. So
that's right.
So, but if you're a DirecTV subscriber, AT&T, I suspect there's still going to be a channel to watch Grizzlies games for this year.
The Bally's app, if I remember correctly, was like $19.99 or something like that a month, yeah. Right? And so, you know, we already have, not everyone already has Amazon Prime. We already have Amazon Prime. And so if it's anything less than that for an add-on, like, yeah, I'm all for that.
And I suspect it's going to be, I think it's going to be somewhere, the reports I've seen is somewhere in the $5 to $10 range a month. There might be like a team specific for $5, which is what you're looking for. And then the other teams that are all on Diamond Sports properties that have NBA, like you might be able to get that package for like 10 a month or something like that.
So just, right, so I'm able to get like Grizzlies Wolves combo for like I was paying for Grizzlies before. There we go.
I'm not trying to sound like I still live in the early 2000s, but so streaming is not you like the streaming services. You're good with that. There's no
it really doesn't, as long as it works. It's just you're still like pressing a button on your remote control and watching something on your television. So I don't really see the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, most of what we watch is off of streaming. In fact, last year, everything, because we basically got rid of cable. But everything we watch is like, you know, because we probably pay too much money for all this. But like, we've got Netflix, and we've got HBO Max, and we've got Hulu, and we've got the Criterion Channel. And so, like, basically everything we watch is from those four things, other than when I'm watching basketball.
So we finally get the finals tomorrow. As we lead up to this series, I guess I've asked you about all kinds of different storylines. What are you most excited to see? Like, what stands out to you about the series?
Well, I mean, there's no specific thing. It's just, basketball is ultimately, like, you know, it's a flow of everything. And so I'm interested in just watching these two teams go at each other. But I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Boston, with all of their defensive personnel, chooses to match up with Dallas. It's not obvious. They have choices to make. They have a lot of options. And how they deploy those options against Luka and Kyrie will be interesting to see, I think.
We also discussed on our podcast yesterday, in the Ringer's new mock draft, they have Khalil Ware going to the Grizzlies at number 9. That's not a name that necessarily has been mocked to the Grizzlies all that much. We did talk about him. You did a little research. I looked him up prior to us coming out with our lists of our favorite players. What are your thoughts on him in general?
So I did. If you go back, I'm going to do a sequel to this column probably next week. But back in March, I did the Great Grizzly Center Search column. I just sort of went through various options. And Khalil Ware, I did do a paragraph on Khalil Ware in that column. I'll probably come back to him a little bit more in this next one. I like Khalil Ware. I sort of like the centers in this draft, with the exception of Missy, who I don't like as much. Pretty much all the centers in the first round of this draft, I have higher on what my board would be thinking about the Grizzlies than they are on the Bucks, just because I don't love the draft. At least those guys are past the playing time. Like, who's more likely to play meaningful minutes for the Grizzlies next season? Kyle Filipowski, Zach Edey, Khalil Ware, or, like, I don't know, Isaiah Collier, or some of these guys, right? I just think if you have mixed feelings about everybody, at least the centers have an ability to come in and play and help the team. As far as Ware specifically, the thing with him is that he's pretty versatile, but I wonder if he has the one thing he can really hang his hat on. Because if you look at him relative to the other centers, like, I feel better about Donovan Clegan being a rim protector and paint defender than I feel about Khalil Ware doing anything. And I feel better about Zach Edey being able to score in the post and score on offensive rebounds and, like, you know, just generate points in the paint than I do about Khalil Ware being able to do anything. And I feel better about Kyle Filipowski being able to handle the ball and pass and sort of play on the perimeter in a versatile way than I do about Khalil Ware being able to do anything. But Ware is like, can finish above the rim and can shoot a little bit and has pretty good size. And it's sort of like he's a B-level player at a lot of different stuff. And is that going to be good enough to hang in the NBA is sort of the question to me.
Yeah. And we also were discussing earlier, it does feel like if Gigi plays in summer league, this could be one of the more entertaining summers for the Grizzlies. I mean, especially given that they'd have potentially a top 10 draft pick and Gigi Jackson, who I think has flashed just about as much potential as we've seen from a rookie, or especially a second-round rookie that the Grizzlies have selected in a long time. Do you think, like, I mean, we don't have Kenneth Lofton anymore, which is sad. You know, he was the summer league expert. He was great to have out in summer league. But do you think you'll be any more intently watching summer league this year? Do you suspect you might be relative to other years?
Oh, I think Gigi Jackson will be someone of great interest to Grizzlies fans and to the league in summer play. Yeah, people are going to be looking for him to look dominant, to be a guy who's like, you're too good for summer league. And if he's not that, there's going to be a little bit of pressure around that. So I think the Gigi Jackson stuff in summer league is going to be extremely interesting. Yeah,
it's also interesting because, you know, lots of fake trades getting thrown around at this time of the year. And some folks have Gigi Jackson being thrown into trades for the Grizzlies. And then you see the reaction from others online, like, you can't trade Gigi Jackson. No, of course you can't trade Gigi Jackson. Now, this is just a question.
There's a real question
about...
Have
we overrated Gigi Jackson at this point?
Well, I think we is doing a lot. I think some people have overrated Gigi Jackson. It's a real question of, is he truly on an all-star trajectory, or is he not, right? And I think the one thing I'll say about Gigi is that I think the highest like projections on him, I don't really trust. And I think the whole like stat head spelunking of, he's the youngest player since Kevin Durant to do this, and he's the youngest since Kobe to do that, he's the youngest since LeBron to do that, I think all that stuff really is too much mustard on the hot dog and sort of overstates the case, because the reality is there just aren't that many players who play in the NBA that young and actually play. I would be reluctant to trade Gigi Jackson because I think the ability is there for him to be a high-level starter or maybe an all-star in the NBA. But I don't watch him and think Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. And so I just think that kind of stuff, because you could find statistical stuff that popped those names, it was just way, way, way too much.
Do you wonder what it will look like with less opportunity? Because to me, that's the main thing.
Yes.
It's like, it's not.
I do.
You're not getting 14 shots a game anymore. You're getting 8, right? You're getting 7, 8, and you've got to capitalize on those shots. And maybe he gets more depending on the type of player that he is, you know, by the middle of the season. But at least with everyone healthy, you don't expect that he's going to get even close to the same amount of opportunity. So there's even more pressure to be even more efficient. How do you think he's going to handle that?
Well, he's never played with Ja, and I don't think he ever played with Bane until Bane's cameo at the very end of the season, right? And he hadn't played that much with Jaren. And so you haven't been able to see Gigi Jackson in the context of those other players. It'll be interesting to see. I suspect that he'll be coming off the bench because of Marcus Smart's stature, and because Vince Williams, I think, is such an obvious fit that I think there's two sort of better options there. But I would hope to see Gigi Jackson sort of getting minutes with those top tier players and trying to fit in more. The good thing, I think, is he has voiced this. I mean, he sort of is aware of that. That he has to fit in with those guys and sort of play maybe slightly differently, but you also want him to like score. Like it's not like you want him to suddenly become Vince Williams. I mean, his talent is getting buckets, and like this team finished last in offense last season, so you want him to get buckets. It'll be interesting to see. I think if his trade value was like super super high, I don't know that it is, but if it was, I don't think it's irrational to talk about trading him for a team that's trying to win big right now, if it can bring the kind of return that can help you win big right now. But, like, I have pretty high expectations for Gigi. I don't have, like, LeBron James, Kevin Durant expectations. But I have pretty high expectations for what he can be. And you got to love the contract he's on. So I would be reluctant to deal Gigi. That's sort of where I'm at on it.
How do you view him positionally? How do you view Gigi positionally? Can he be a four?
When the NBA scales down, you know, just anybody who's 6'8 can be a four. But I don't think he's a real four. I think he's a small ball four. He's more of a combo forward who I would lean towards him as more of a perimeter player.
I ask that because I'm wondering how they're, because that may matter, how they perceive him moving forward may matter in which direction they're going to go. We've talked about you know, this idea that maybe they don't take a traditional big and they take a bigger forward or somebody whose skill set match what they want to do or what they envision in the future. And if they do envision Gigi as a four and they do think that Jaren could be the starter, then I think maybe it does lend to the idea that they might take a wing or a guard more. Correct?
Oh, I would love to see, a lineup on the floor at some point next season that's Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Vince Williams Jr., Gigi Jackson, Jaren Jackson. Let's see what that looks like. You know, I think there's enough fluidity in the NBA that you don't have to lock him into one position. But I do think he will be more of a perimeter kind of player.
All right, Chris. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. I hope the moving's still going well.
We're getting there.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.